let us now bring on our featured guest for the evening, our good friend, Reverend Ted Pike. Of course, Reverend Pike needs no introduction to the listening audience of the Political Cesspool radio program, but just in case you are tuning in for the first time, and maybe you are because we are an ever-growing program that welcomes new listeners each week, Reverend Pike is the national director at truthtellers.org, a great organization that has, in my opinion, served as the absolute spearhead when it comes to defeating this Orwellian hate crimes legislation. I think that's the signature issue that Ted Pike has there at truthtellers.org, the National Prayer Network. And if not for Ted Pike's actions, I do believe we would already have, as Canada does, and as so many Western nations do, hate crimes legislation. On now, without further ado, Reverend Ted Pike. Reverend Pike, great to have you on this, our first show of the new year.
Well, thank you so much, James.
Always a pleasure, my friend. It's particularly when we have you on to celebrate defeat of the hate crimes bills that we have seen come up so many times over the course of the last couple of years. Not one up right now, but as we were talking about earlier in the morning today, Ted, Obama's coming in, certainly emboldened by this supermajority he has in Washington. What can we expect on the front of hate crimes legislation in the early part of his first year in office?
Well, for the last two sessions of Congress, the federal hate crimes bill has been introduced literally in the first week. And so I can say that there's an excellent chance that it will be submitted this coming week, probably through Representative Jackson Lee's office. And then after some change around, appointments have been made in the House Judiciary Committee, it will probably be introduced into the judiciary. And, of course, we as lovers of freedom are going to have to blitz the judiciary like we did 2 years ago, letting them know, both Democrats and Republicans, that we're not going to stand for the losing of our free speech like we did in Canada. But right now, it is imperative, even as early as Monday morning, that people start calling their members of the House and the Senate, letting them know in no uncertain terms that this is unacceptable. It doesn't matter how many Democrats are in favor of it. It doesn't matter if the President of the United States is going to be in favor of it. This is simply an unacceptable loss of great First Amendment freedoms, which we have fought and died and protected for so many centuries.
Well, Ted, you know, I was asking you earlier. It was obviously very hard to defeat hate crimes bills over the course of the last 8 years when we had this alleged conservative Republican in office. Again, you're the modern-day Paul Revere when it comes to defeating this type of stuff. But now we've got Obama and his liberal ideology and the Democrats increasing their majority back in November. How much more difficult is it going to be to keep these laws off the books? And what must we do, what more must we do in order to ensure that our previous success continues even in the Obama administration?
Well, as a result of all of the bad publicity for the hate bill, which our National Prayer Network and other talk show hosts like you generated in the last term of Congress, there were no less than four Democrats who defected in the U.S. Senate away from the hate bill. There was something like 11 Democrats who defected in the House away from support of the hate bill. Now, of course, there's a very formidable filibuster-proof majority now, not only the Democrats in the Senate, but also turncoat Republicans who will be voting with them. But I believe if we mount an extremely aggressive and consistent a campaign here right from the very beginning of this Congress, we stand a chance of perhaps persuading that number again and perhaps more. I don't think there's any chance of defeating the hate bill in the House of Representatives, but the Senate is a different matter, and they've got to have those 60 votes, and I can't say that I'm optimistic, but I know that there is a God in heaven who's pulled a legislative rabbit out of the hat too many times during the last 10 years when it seemed hopeless. Through prayers and intercession and activism, we have seen the hate bill forces thrown into disarray again and again, acting in confusion. And when we thought all was lost, suddenly we find that we have a victory once again. This certainly happened last time in the most spectacular kind of manner and can only be attributed to divine providence. That was, of course, an amazing story in itself. Also, I should mention that just this evening, while we are speaking, the National Prayer Network, our organization, has produced a 10-minute video alert, and it's called Ted Pike Debunks Hateville Lies. And in this short but powerful video, I present three main lies, misrepresentations of the Hateville forces, how fallacious it is. By tomorrow morning, that will be up, I can almost guarantee, at our website, which is www.truthtellers.org. Come to truthtellers.org, watch this 10-minute gripping video, and begin to pass it around as quickly as you can through your own email chains and blogs and websites and so on. We need to get an educational program fast-forwarding now because, as I say, the hate bill is coming down the legislative pike very quickly at us. And this is very ominous because last time around, 2 years ago, we had a tremendous advantage in the fact that we were able, over a period of about 3 weeks, to really hammer the 40 or so members of the House Judiciary Committee, both Democrats and Republicans. And even before that, I was leading the charge clear back in December against the hate bill and getting people calling in and so on. And what this did, this proactive program of opposing the hate bill and educating against it, what it did was it forced the head of the House Judiciary Committee, John Conyers, to hold hearings on the hate bill, something he did not want to do, but because of so much flack and controversy about it, he held hearings, and that was a disaster for the Democrats because it inspired our calling of all of these judiciary members, as well as all that pre-publicity, inspired about 11 Republican members of the House Judiciary Committee to really raise a fuss in the judiciary for about 3 days, and it was the talk of the town in Washington, D.C., this tremendous opposition. They were very creative. They actually submitted 11 different amendments to the hate bill trying to water it down. Now, that would be the ideal scenario this time around, that we could again slow down the hate bill by lots of controversy, getting the Republicans energized and so on. But that may not be possible because the Democrats learned a bitter lesson. They began to dawdle, they began to procrastinate, and finally, when the election year came, they couldn't proceed on a hate crimes agenda because they were trying to portray themselves as very sympathetic to family values, traditional values, and so on. As a result of that, none of their Orwellian bills were passed.
Hold that thought just a second. Rand, smack dab into a break. We're going to let you pick it up right there when we continue on the political stuff. Well, don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Ted Pike, when we return. Welcome back to the Political Festival. I'm your host, James Edwards, joined in studio tonight by my good friend and co-host, Bill Rowland. Don't forget to check out our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And if you appreciate our work, please support it at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We take great pride in bringing to you a lot of the preeminent leaders of our movement to restore America's destiny, one of those being our good friend Reverend Ted Pike, who joins us tonight. Of course, Ted Pike is the national director of the National Prayer Network, found at truthtellers.org. And Ted, you were concluding a point when we ran out of time in that last segment, so by all means, continue to take the podium.
Yes, as I was saying, last time around, 2 years ago, Representative Conyers made the mistake of allowing hearings on the hate bill. He didn't have to do that because the hate bill had passed the House the previous year, and theoretically it had been thoroughly discussed. He did, and it provided almost a circus for 11 Republicans who were filled with spirit and fight as a result of all the encouragement we were giving them. But we may not have that privilege again this year. Again, the hate bill was passed by both of the House and the Senate last time around in the 110th Congress. And if the liberals are smart, they will do their very best to just run it through as quickly as possible with nothing more than a voice vote in the Democratic House Judiciary and the Senate Judiciary. Now, if that happens, then it'll go very quickly to a vote in the House and Senate, which is the worst-case scenario for us, because then it's on the way almost certainly to the president's office. What we have to do right now is we have to create enough controversy, enough education first, and then calls and controversy going in there so that the Democrats will not be able to hide this controversy, and they will be forced to say, well, okay, there's so many loose ends, so many objections, so many problems with the hate bill that we have to at least go through the formality of an airing here in the House Judiciary Committee. Now, this underscores the importance of people calling immediately. Congress will open, the 111th Congress will open Monday morning, day after tomorrow, and lovers of freedom should be calling immediately their House members and Senate members at that time, letting them know that this is a red-hot issue with them. They are going to be held accountable for how they respond to the hate bill.
I'll be picking up the phone Monday morning. I guarantee it. Bill Rowland, we're in the midst of Ted Pike's wonderful presentation right now, and it's always so timely. What say you to this so far?
Reverend Pike, do you have any idea what this bill will contain? That is, some specific language that we can use to expose just how bad this legislation is?
Well, that's exactly what I've addressed in my 10-minute video, which is now, by tomorrow morning, will be viewable at truthtellers.org. Actually, you know, some hate bill proponents, they say there's no language in the hate crimes bill that might suggest an end of free speech. Well, that's a lie, because a Title 18, U.S. Code Title 18, which is the Hate Crimes Act that was passed as part of the Civil Rights Movement back in 1968, and which is included in the hate bill legislation, that states very clearly that if anybody counsels or abets or encourages to say discrimination or persecution against any federally protected group, including homosexuals, that person whose counsel incited another person to a violent hate crime will be tried along with the actual perpetrator of that hate crime. Now, what that means is that if a pastor, a talk show host, even a person on the street corner counsels or expresses sentiments, let's say biblical sentiments, that homosexuality is an abomination and so on, and some hothead or some racist fanatic or whatever goes out and bashes a homosexual, and he claims that this sermon or this talk show host induced him or persuaded him to such violence, then that pastor or that talk show host is going to be in federal court defending his liberty against a federal hate crimes charge.
Well, the fairness doctrine was certainly written to people like us in mind, Ted. I can promise you that. But, well, I'll tell you what, we're just going to have to hold up right there because we got another break. When we continue on, ladies and gentlemen, with our featured guest of the evening, Reverend Ted Pike, he'll have a little more time to continue laying out the groundwork here for what we can do in response. That which is coming down the pike, it came down the pike with George Bush in office time and time again with the Republican Congress. You can guarantee it's going to happen under the Obama administration. It's going to happen soon. It's going to happen fast. We've got to be prepared, and that's why Ted Pike is with us tonight. We're going to continue on with more questions for Ted and what we can expect
right after this. You're listening to the Political Cesspool on the Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org and at our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're back right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
I can't think of a much better way to celebrate our first show of the new year than having Ted Pike on the program. The only way it would be any better is if Ted was on to tell us that we have scored such a resounding victory over those who would want to implement hate crimes legislation that it will never again be proposed in the American government. But the fact of the matter is that day is never going to come. And we can beat this down, as we have done so many times in the past. We can beat down this proposed hate crimes legislation 100 times. But if they pass it on the 101st time, on the 101st attempt, it's not going to matter. Everything else will be moot. And that is why Ted Pike makes such regular appearances on this program, because each and every time he's on to sound the alarm that we need to rise up and take action against this legislation, it's because it's absolutely imperative and essential, and they will keep coming until they pass it unless we continue to meet them on the front lines and stop it. Bill Rowland, question for Ted Pike.
Reverend Pike, who are the main proponents or supporters in the Congress and Senate of this hate crimes legislation? Who are the Democrats or maybe even Republicans who are pushing this the hardest?
Well, Senator Kennedy was the main protagonist on the Democratic side for hate bill passage for the last 10 years. I don't know whether he's going to be able to continue that with his terminal brain cancer. And then Gordon Smith, who's a Republican, a liberal Republican from Oregon, was the Republican advocate, and he was defeated in this election. So I really don't know who is going to be their leader this time around. I would think Senator Kennedy, having to face his creator in a very short time, should repent of such a massive deception and prevarication that he's brought into Congress for so long. He should admit that the whole hate bill is a sham. It's nothing but a ploy by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, which is a Jewish supremacist organization, basically to criminalize Christianity, criminalize Christians' free speech, to make Christians into haters, thought speech criminals. I wish he'd just make a deathbed repentance in front of the Senate and try to get himself straightened out with his creator. I'm sure that won't happen. But behind these puppets in the Senate and the House of Representatives, of course, is the ADL. The ADL is the architect of hate crimes legislation for the past half century, beginning with the genocide treaty in the United Nations and on and on. They have they're responsible for persuading 45 U.S. states to adopt some version of their state hate crimes law, and certainly the ADL is responsible internationally, especially in Western nations of Europe, Canada, Australia, for the phenomena of hate crimes legislation, which makes it a criminal offense to criticize homosexuality, Judaism, even Islam.
Also, Reverend Pike, do you think that there's a chance or the possibility that the Supreme Court would overturn any of this legislation as being a violation of the First Amendment?
No, absolutely not. We saw with Roe versus Wade that you better stop these things before they get started, because the Supreme Court, there's two liberal Jewish justices on the Supreme Court and the other liberal influences there. And there's not a ghost of a chance. The people have to keep this juggernaut in the bottle, this hate crimes genie in the bottle, because if it is allowed to get out, it will proliferate, just like it did in Canada after 1971. In 1971, the ADL, after 10 years of lobbying Parliament, finally persuaded Parliament during a in the moments before a Christmas recess to adopt their federal hate crimes bill, and immediately, almost immediately, it became interpreted and adjudicated out in the provinces by the local magistrates and legislators, who broadened it to you see, originally the ADL said, well, this is just to prevent bias-motivated hate crime, violent hate crime, from proliferating in Canada, and to mete out proper punishments for violent hate criminals and those who hold groups up to possible violence or attack because of their language and intimidation and so on. And they said, don't worry, this will never result in any kind of curtailment of free speech in Canada. Well, almost immediately after the law was passed, the local provinces adopted their own provincial hate laws, and all of them very quickly extended the protection not just to physical violence against homosexuals, but to verbal violence, which means words which hold up homosexuality to hatred or contempt and cause homosexuals' delicate feelings to be hurt. And as a result of this, the Bible, literally the Bible in Canada concerning homosexuality, cannot be quoted on radio, on the internet, even on a street corner in Canada without a possible fines and even imprisonment.
And, you know, and folks think that it's somewhat heard of to imagine that that could happen in America. But then you look around, and we made mention of this back just a moment ago. They're just a couple of miles from many American cities in Canada. It's there. It's in Australia. It's in Germany. It's in many of the nations of Europe. It will be here unless we heed Ted Pike's warning. And a lot of the ground y'all are covering right now, gentlemen, is very imperative. First of all, we shouldn't expect that the Supreme Court, particularly with their liberal record, would do the job for us that we won't do for ourselves. We've got to stop this and not count on anyone to do the job for us, because the Supreme Court's not going to do it. I agree with Ted on that. And secondly, people have got to understand that the hate crimes legislation in and of itself is not the enemy. I mean, certainly it's imperative that we stop it and that we fight it, but we also have to understand where the root of the disease is coming from, who is behind the hate crimes legislation, and just as ardently as we would fight this from being passed and enacted into law, we need to also fight those who are pushing it. And they are, as Ted mentioned specifically, the ADL and Ted Kennedy, among others. I want to take one quick call, and we need to, again, oppose the ADL. We need to oppose this treachery. I want to take one quick call for Ted Pike from Buffalo. Jim, you're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Reverend, nice to hear from you again. You're doing God's work.
Thank you.
I just can't believe that this just keeps coming up. It keeps rearing its ugly head. And with all due respect to a certain vice presidential candidate, I can, in fact, see Canada from where I live. And I'm well aware of the goings-on there with the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal. You're aware of what's going on there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they have a 100% conviction rate.
Yes.
Dragging people in before a tribunal, accusing them of hate speech, whether it be print or radio or whatever the case may be, and they have a 100% conviction rate. I don't see how people in this country don't think that that will end up coming here if
yeah.
they don't oppose this.
That's right. Well, the federal hate crimes bill will basically launch us into a whole new kind of justice system in America. Yes, as in Canada, our conventional Anglo-Saxon law will cover, you know, run-of-the-mill crimes. But if any crime seems to be motivated by prejudice or bias in any way, then suddenly not only are the penalties greatly magnified, but this goes into a separate hate crimes category, resulting in the hate crimes tribunal system, probably like they have in Canada, where you have only one hearings officer hearing the case, and, of course, truth is not admitted into the hate crimes tribunal systems, and the penalties are very severe, a minimum $5,000 fine for the first offense, and if that pastor or that broadcaster should repeat any criticisms, especially of homosexuality or Judaism, it means a jail term, contempt of court.
And when it comes to crimes, I mean, what they're doing now, there's still every time you turn around, you hear about a hate crime. It looks like a possible hate crime before there's even an investigation. I thought that we were all entitled to equal protection under the law, but it seems that some people's lives are worth more than others.
Yes.
It's a scary thought.
Yeah, well, the as I say, the ADL represents Jewish activism, liberal Jewish activism, and liberal Jewish activists have been very primarily responsible for the whole bias, crime, prejudice orientation of our justice system, which basically says that we as white Christian Americans owe the blacks, the Indians, the Chicanos, the women, etc., the homosexuals, literally we owe them for perhaps centuries of persecution and discrimination. And therefore, if any kind of a Christian, especially a Christian young man like this young man in Illinois this last spring who pushed over a drunken homosexual and was indicted for a hate crime, if you happen to be so unfortunate as to be white, Christian, and male, then you are a high-profile target for a hate crimes indictment. However, even the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center will admit that the vast majority of hate crimes in America, bona fide hate crimes in America today, are committed not by white Christian males, but by Chicano gangs against blacks or black gangs against Chicanos, where it's just raw racism as they kill and go after their racial opponents. But in most of those instances, those are adjudicated not as hate crimes, but simple felonies or assaults or whatever. It's just when a Christian white individual happens to say words or to fall afoul of the hate crimes bureaucracy that the liberals come after them. So we have a very selective type of morality in all of these hate crimes bureaucracies worldwide.
I want to thank Jim in Buffalo for hitting a couple of nails squarely on the head and setting you up for that, Ted, because this is, I think, this really exemplifies why we must oppose, and not just oppose, but defeat at whatever cost, this legislation. This is what's happening, and Ted, you're on a roll. I tell you, you've probably been on this show 30 times over the course of the last 4 years, but I'm not sure if I've ever enjoyed an interview with you as much as I'm enjoying this one. I know we only have a couple of minutes left before we have to sign off for the evening, and with that being the case, Ted, I certainly want to afford to you the opportunity to give us basically a wrap, a summation here with what we're facing and how we can take action. I know you've got some phone numbers that we absolutely have to bring to the attention of our listening audience.
Yes. The important thing Monday morning is start getting those calls in to your members of the House and the Senate. If you don't know who they are, that's no problem. You can call several numbers, and as soon as the Capitol operator receives your request, she'll just ask you for your zip code, and she will automatically take you to the members of the House, the members of the Senate, and leave this simple message. Just say, please don't vote for any hate crimes legislation. I'm a little ambiguous there because we don't know exactly what the title of the new bill will be, but everybody knows about the federal hate crimes bill. So tell them, please don't vote for any kind of hate crimes legislation. And you might also tell them that hate laws have taken away free speech in Canada and many, many European countries. Now, it's very important that people come to my website, which is www.truthtellers.org tomorrow morning, and you'll be able to have a premiere viewing of my new 10-minute video report entitled Pike Debunks Hate Bill Lies. There's 10 minutes there of power-packed information. You need immediately to watch this, pass it on by email, put it on your blog, your website, show it in your church, your Sunday school class, or your conservative group, whatever. We need to get this out. We need to get it disseminated as far and wide as we possibly can, because we've got to be proactive. As I said earlier, the Democrats are not probably going to allow this hate bill to be discussed in any kind of hearings in either the House or the Senate. They're going to ramrod it through very fast. And what we have to do is to beat them to the draw, create so much controversy so soon, proactively, that they will be forced to admit that they have a major controversy, and the least they should do is to give it a public hearing. Also at my website, I have a dynamic brochure there, a simple flyer you can copy front and back, print it out, take it to your Xerox, your copy shop, make hundreds of copies and pass it around in your community. And also at our website, we have the list now of all of the new members of the 111th Congress. So I would encourage people to call not only your own members of the House and Senate, go down the list and start calling a lot of them, especially in the United States Senate, because the Democrats so overwhelmingly control the House. Undoubtedly, the hate bill will pass there easily. But if another matter in the Senate where the numbers are very dicey, very close, and if we can compellingly argue and avalanche these members of the Senate, we could have some defections from the hate bill ranks, and it's that one crucial vote that could make all the difference between passage or defeat of the hate bill.
And, Ted, we only have about 60 seconds left, but I want to be sure to impress upon people that may say, well, you know, listen, I'm just an average working-class taxpayer. Calling my congressman or senator isn't going to make a difference, especially when it's something this important to the New World Order powers that be. Do making these phone calls make a difference?
Oh, yes, it does. We've defeated the hate bill 5 times in the last 10 years by people getting on that phone and letting their elected representatives know how they feel. It's tremendously important. You cannot minimize that. And I know how important it is. It's these are the missiles of truth going out into a very dark Congress, and they do radiate and reverberate throughout Congress. If there's a strong response, believe me, it'll get out and it'll make a difference. It happened so many times, and with God's help, we can do it again.
Ted, it is always a privilege and an honor, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Every time we're able to speak with you on the air, look forward to, hopefully another favorable outcome with this. But we will remain on the watchtower between now and then, and even thereafter, as we know that this is a perpetual battle that we must engage in. And thank you for your leadership on this front. I tell you, and I think I speak on behalf of all freedom-loving Americans, we might already be in the gulag to work for you and your efforts. God bless you, my friend. Godspeed. We will talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Reverend Ted Pike, everyone. Bill Rowland and I will be back to wrap up the program right after this.